We're all different. We all have different passions, and I've learned a lot about that. We all have different drives that within us that pushes us all towards the same goal. But if you look at all the varieties of people, and no two people are the same, I'm going to ask you a question. How do you know that they are Christians? We have all these different snowflakes, yet if I see any snowflake, I know that it's a snowflake. Yet if I look at all the people in the world, how can I recognize that each person is a Christian or not? Think about that. God's purpose in His plan for mankind is that when we look at one another with all of the diversity of what He has created in us, that there is a unity, and that there would be absolutely no question in your mind that when you walk up to somebody, that in that unity you would know that they are a Christian. And of course the songs will tell you by their love and by a lot of different things we can recognize that. The series that we're doing in Trials and Tribulations is for this purpose. And hear me when I say this. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. It's just part of this planet. It's part of where we are. We're not, what? We're ambassadors. We're not tenants here. This is not home. We come from above. We're born of above if we're born again, right? That's the commonality that we have. Therefore, in this world we shall have tribulation. So when all of the different varieties of people face tribulation, or they face trials, or they face hardships, and they will because that's what this world brings, Christians will respond in a different manner, in a like-minded manner, if you will. What God is looking for is that if we can navigate in the world and place where He has placed us, and we can see that commonality that we have in handling life's circumstances, whether they be good, bad, ugly, indifferent, or whatever, we will know that we are Christians. And so my heart in finishing this series on trials and tribulations, and we call them hardships, and we call them tests, and we call them all those things that God allows. He lets the world function, right? He's allowing Satan to go on until He throws him into the lake of fire. These things will continue to happen. His goal is to instill within us, through the variety of giftings He's placed in all of us, is so that we will learn and then practice the unity of faith, the commonality of knowing how to handle life and situations by His Spirit and not through our own selves. Because if we do it in our own strength, we're all going to react differently and probably wrongly. But if we do it by His Spirit, then we do it in His power. We see a commonality amongst ourselves, and when we walk amongst people and we see how they react to life, we'll know that they are Christians. Of course, love being first and foremost, and then there's a host of others. So, Father, I pray right now that as we finish this series on trials of life, that, Lord, You would place within us a desire and a passion to learn and to accept and to trust and to live by faith in what You have told us in this wonderful love letter You've written us about who we are and how we are to act. And I thank You, Lord, that within the giftings You've placed within me, that You've given me an opportunity to all those whom I love very much and dearly here to be a spokesperson for You. May it be accurate, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. It's so good to be home and really good to see part of you guys. Part of you guys. I say part of you because not everybody's here, but I pray that changes for me and that our relationship will increase as it does with the Lord over whatever time we have left before the Lord comes back. But I just needed to let you guys know I really do appreciate you more than ever after having traveled halfway around the world and seeing how others live and navigate and associate and relate. We have something very special here. And so I'm not going to run anymore. I'm not going to try to get away anymore. I may need to still have a vacation now and then, but I'm just glad I'm home. Thank you. All right, so when we left off last month on the subject of trials in our lives, We talked about what? You're not going to remember that. I understand. It's been a long time. You had some great speakers come in, and you're probably still thinking about Joey's message and the year Jubilee and probably Winston's message and everybody else's. But today, you need to focus, grasshoppers, on this one, you know. I think Bert could probably testify to this. I think it was Pastor Don who said, out of all the people that you've ever heard and stuff like that, and you want to hear preach, well, who would you want to hear preach? And he says, well, me when I'm on, okay? But if I'm off, forget it, okay? But today we're going to continue on trials and how to prepare for and respond to them. God wants us and knows, he said, Jesus warned us in this world, you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tests. He says, but there is a way to prepare for and there is a way to respond to them as Christians. Someone once said that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you choose to deal with it. Amen? Someone once said that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you choose to deal with it. And that is certainly true and rings true when it comes to trials in our lives, more so than anything else. God allows, see, life happens. God allows difficult and painful circumstances to come into our lives to do what? To transform our conduct and our character, using them to do what? Perfect and complete us. His goal is what? Our goal, once we get to be with Jesus, and it's not going to happen until we get there fully, is to perfect us, to complete us. So that means we're in training. It has to be, because if we're not in full yet and we're only in part now, we will be one day. So his goal in these difficult and painful circumstances is to work on our conduct and work on our character in order to perfect and complete us. And I used it like this, like an army uses discipline of basic training to ultimately equip and save a soldier's life in battle. It's not pleasant, but it's necessary. Nobody likes going through basic training. There's a lot of hardship. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of adversity. But those that are teaching the process understand that it's vital for battle. It's vital to come against your enemy and to win and to be successful and to achieve victory in the end. So, you must accept these trying experiences and not resist them. And that's what we're going to talk about today. When these trials and tribulations and tests come into your life, don't immediately go into the whining mode or whatever and go, ah, realize that if it's there, God works what? All things together for good to them that love him. That in anything in life, if we trust him and we have the faith that his word is faithful, and he'll never leave us or forsake us, and he gives us everything we have to handle situations in life, then we'll be able to navigate through anything that comes our way, whether it is physical, whether it's emotional or spiritual. God will never leave us, and he will give us what we need. But we can and we must accept these things and not try to pretend like they're not there, or even more importantly, don't resist them. Don't resist them, and we'll talk about that in a second. Hebrews 12:11. All discipline, trials, hardships, testings, that's what this word means. Remember, we've already covered that. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, right? Basic training is not fun, but sorrowful. Yet, I love these words, yet to those who have been trained by it, in other words, how we respond, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. What does that mean? It changes us. It changes the way we think. It changes our behavior. We think more like God. We respond more like heaven. We don't spawn and freak out like the rest of the world when circumstances come our way. We have the commonality and unity of faith in Jesus Christ and know that he's right there to what? To work through us. To work us, sometimes to carry us, sometimes to really, really carry us. Sometimes we can walk right alongside of him, right? When we start reaching our goal. But all discipline trials yields that fruit of righteousness if you're trained. But if you refuse to, now who remembers this? Submit underneath. Hupomone? Remember the word, the Greek word hupomone? If we refuse to submit underneath the training, oh God, I don't, just stop that in my life. I don't want any more of that in my life. It's too hard. It's too difficult. If we refuse to submit underneath the training, you will remain weak in essence. Weak in character, weak in what that makeup inside of you is. Now listen, Hebrews 12:12 tells us, We're just walking through Hebrews here, a few verses. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Ever feel that way? Strengthen, you can leave that up, Pam, the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. So, in the original Greek, this verse reads like this. Listen. Therefore, straighten up the hands hanging alongside, which means hands that are hanging down from weariness, low spirits, caused by a loss of hope or courage. Hands that are hanging down in weariness from a loss of hope or a loss of courage. Oh, God, not more of this. Oh, not this again. Oh, do I have to go through that? I thought I've been through that and it was over. Israel felt that way when they were walking to the promised land, didn't they? But this is what it means. In the Old Testament, it translates hands that droop or fall limp. And it really means disheartened. So here we have this description of strengthening the hands that are weak and knees are feeble. God knows that when sometimes adverse circumstances or trials or tests or tribulations come our way, we have a tendency to droop. We don't have faith to say God's with me and no matter what comes my way, I'll handle it with the principles of the Word of God. I'll see past it. I'll see through it. Jesus will certainly get me that way. No. Well, I'm just caving in and I'm giving in and I'm just going to accept what's coming my way without treating it the way the Word of God will tell me to come against it. That's what it means. Disheartened. Loss of hope. Loss of courage. Weariness. Hands hanging alongside. This is what this verse is saying. And as I said, the Israelites in Exodus chapter 14 on their journey to the promised land exhibited it. It was tough and they wanted to what? Quit. But if they had, they'd have been right back in Egypt in bondage and worse things would have happened to them. Again, much like soldiers in basic training, there's a lot of guys that just don't want to make the 6 weeks and they just want to quit. But then they will never reach their full potential and never get that victory and be equipped to handle all of what is coming their way, right? To what? Defend the nation. Just as we defend Jesus Christ and we're out there and we need to be toughened up, if you will, because the enemy comes like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and we're not to be wimps. We're not to roll over. We're to fight the good fight of faith. And that good fight of faith is fought with the Word of God, and that Word of God gets put within us. And the only way that can be tested and tried before we send someone out into battle, the only way God can know is to allow the world to just affect you, and He does allow that. And then He says, now draw upon my strength. Get those knees and those arms that are hanging alongside going, there's no way I can do this on my own. And He's going, that's exactly right. Fall and rely upon what I've given you. Put your armor on. I'll be with you. That's exciting. When we know that the world and these things are coming, it shouldn't depress us. And it should take our attitude and change it when all of these adversities come against us. Because we have the One who created the universe and people and everything that is in our corner. And for greater is He that's within me than it's in the world, right? So we know that we've got the victory, but we've got to walk in that victory. We've got to work it out. We have to work the Word, as Bert would say all the time. We've got to work this Word that's given to us for our protection and our provision and our help in time of trouble, in time of trial, in time of hard. God never promised that we wouldn't have it as Christians, that there'd just be a big blanket of immunity. It rains on the just and the unjust. But He's given us a way through it with a smile at the end. At the end, I would say, probably. Folks, drooping hands and weak knees represent the physical symptoms of discouragement. And trials can certainly lead to discouragement, as Teresa was saying before, if we let them. Yes. Trials can lead us to discouragement instead of victory if we allow it. Let's look at it. Hebrews 12:13. And make straight paths. So, you know, here we go. Our hands are, and we're discouraged, and we're down, and we're lost of hope, and all that. But He says, make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb, which is lame, the discouragement and the loss of courage and all that stuff that's going on inside you, right, may not be put out of joint. You become dysfunctional. But rather, God's purpose in your trial is that you be healed. That is exactly right. And make straight paths for your feet. Folks, when you're going through a trial, you want to get from point A to point B as fast as you can. You want basic training over with. God, teach me this lesson. I'm sorry if I've gone this way and I haven't heard to this point, so this is being allowed in my life, in other words, to turn me around and go in the opposite direction because I wasn't quite listening 100%. Make it quick. I'm listening now, God. I'm listening now. Don't let the water get too deep. Right? That's our reaction. You want to keep things straight and to the point so you can quickly learn the lesson. But what about the person who doesn't want to learn? Okay. What if you simply start to whine in adverse circumstances and blame everything on the devil? Everything that's happening to you, you begin to whine, you blame everything, you blame other people, you blame your partner because of the marriage problems you're having, and you blame your financial difficulties because of what somebody else did to you, and you're thinking, well, who was behind all this? How did I get myself? Or no, how did somebody else get me in this situation? It's usually not like that. What if you'd rather pretend that you don't have a problem in your marriage? Or that you're not facing any financial difficulties or other trials that seem to come your way. Don't be unwilling to accept what God wants to complete in you through the difficulty. When these things happen, usually because, you know, you've either caused it yourself or the world's brought it on you or the devil's roaming around and stuff like that. When these things happen, right, you cannot be unwilling to see what God wants to do and complete in you through that. He will work all things together for good. Even when the adversity comes your way, you must embrace what God has allowed in your life, and again, and acknowledge that it's for your good. Otherwise, what's going to happen? You're going to become frustrated, you're going to become discouraged, and if you get frustrated and discouraged because you got weak knees, Scripture goes on, it can lead to dislocation, which is a much more serious condition than just being weak. The Scripture says it here. Let's look at it. 13 again. Straight paths, right? So that the limb which is lame, your weakness, may not be what? Put out of joint. Folks, in medical terms, that's called dislocation. That means that joint is no longer functional. You might have pain in it, but I don't know about the rest of you. When I work out, if I got pain, I work through it. I can still function even though I have pain. I'm not at my best. I'm not doing everything that I should be doing, but at least I'm still moving in the right direction, okay? But if I have a dislocated joint, I'm not moving it. It's not going to be functional. So it's a worse condition if your discouragement and your loss of hope and your arms that have gone weak because of your trial, you're going to get worse and worse. And he says, you need to avoid that. It can get worse if you stay, if you remain in that state of mind towards what he's given or what he's allowed. So let me give you an illustration of this verse in a practical way about this. The limb which is lame is like a son or daughter under the discipline of the Lord. Okay? We're going to make it spiritual now because that's what God is doing here. If you haven't figured it out yet, he didn't write this to tell us about human anatomy. God didn't really care about our flesh. This was an illustration of a spiritual truth that we have to get. So, when you have a son or daughter that's under the discipline or the testing of the Lord or the things that he's allowed in our life, right? The pressure that comes that's on you causes you to limp a little bit, right? To stumble. If this happens and pressure comes on you, it causes you to limp, says the Bible. The problem is that if you try to force your way out from under the pressure, if you put pressure on something, and you resist it, and you try to get your way out from under the pressure, that's when the dislocation happens. You understand that? Under the pressure. In other words, if you force yourself out from under the pressure, instead of remaining under, what was that word? Hupomone. Instead of remaining under and saying, okay, God's got this. I know I don't want these circumstances. Lord, I want them lifted, but whatever it is that I've got to do to get through them and whatever it is that I got to handle to do this. But if we just say, oh, God, not again. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then you start using human resources and everything else at your disposal to get out of this trial or tribulation you're in instead of calling on God. You try to force your way out from underneath that pressure. And what happens in the human body is if you put pressure on something and you try to force your way out of it, you dislocate. Spiritually speaking, you'll dislocate. You will become unfunctional. You won't call on God. The first wrong thing that happens, the first bad thing to happen, or whatever it is that's going on in your life, you're going to go right into your own human nature and try to handle it yourself. Try to get out of your financial difficulty by yourself. Try to repair your marriage all by yourself. Do you get it? You can't. It won't happen. Maybe you get lucky and some people will, but for the most part, without God and without the power of the Holy Spirit behind you and without His DNA inside you working on the inside, getting it to the outside, you're toast. And He's telling you, you'll go from weakness to dislocation, and if you don't change it, obviously, then, you know, you're just going to lay down and die, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what comes after that. But notice that verse 13 says that the Lord's goal, now let's get back to that, in this trial is that your limp would be healed. Folks, listen, God doesn't want trials to devastate, dislocate, or destroy your life. He doesn't want that. He warns us about those that come from the world. He lets those happen sometimes when we're not responding. Now, hey, we can live a faith-filled, supernatural life, and some of these things that we're going through necessarily, we wouldn't have to go through if we were better listeners. But sometimes when we're making steps and going in the wrong direction, God says, okay, I'm going to let the world handle them then so that they will turn back to me, and then they'll get my principles and get themselves out of this, or I will get them out. But that's only the reason. But a lot of the things that you have as trials and tests in your life, you know, I'm not, you know, would you test a student that you know is getting A's, straight A's through the stuff and give them basic 101 again? And see? You don't even bother testing them because they're there. But a lot of times, you know, we barely get by and maybe we passed it this time and didn't pass the other time. There's a little more work to do. And so we get ourselves in another situation and God has a different way of bringing our attention around to doing the right thing. Because He's doing what? He's perfecting. And He's completing us. So, He allows the pain of discipline to get your attention in order to strengthen your inner spirit, man. He wants you to be the person, and this is His goal, and this is where we started, and this is where we're going to conclude today. He wants you to be the person that He created you to be. Think about that. You're a spirit. First and foremost, you're a spirit. When your body goes back to the dust, you're not a body anymore at all. You're a spirit that God breathed into and gave life, the miracle of life. And first and foremost, that's who you are. And He designed you in a specific way to walk out heaven's principles. And what we've done is we've turned and we've followed the ways of the world with all of its influence. And so people that are not accepting Christ as Lord and Savior and reading their Bibles and hanging out with good, strong Christian brothers and sisters, ironing, sharpening iron, and all of that stuff, they are void of the influence of God. And so therefore, they're going to react to the world and its situations and everything by the world's standards. But God has given us a different way. And He wants your spirit man to be so trained so that what's on the inside will begin to get to the outside, and then other people will see it, and other people will want it, and evangelism just happens because you're a child of the King.
That's right.
When you see a child of the King, and you go in the natural, and you know, you see the King, and you know who the children of the King are. They look like the King. They act like the King. They eat His food. They sleep in His house.
That's right.
They ride His horses. They command His armies. You just know that they're, well, it has to be the prince, because he's riding on the horse. He's eating with the King. He's talking with the King. He's around Him all the time. That's what we have to do, folks, if we're really wanting to get that ultimate victory and have more victory in it and avoid all these things. The prince is protected more than anybody else. All the other guys are going through trials and tribulations out there, right? But they're not sons. But when you're a son and you're living off the King's food and you're in His house, the protection and the overall wisdom and insight and everything that you have is much greater. The King doesn't have to teach His son too many things when the son is following the King in his footsteps in every which way he goes. It's when we veer off and the King's going this way and you're going this way that he's got to kind of reel my son in, will you? He wants you to be the person He created you to be. Last scripture, Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all men. So following this disjointedness, if you will, He says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification, wow, without which no one will see the Lord. God is saying, pursue sanctification. Now, we know that means holiness, right? In other words, live according to the way God designed you to live. He created you to live by heaven's standards, not the world's. So though we're living in the world, we got to get back to heaven's standards. That's why you're here and we're all growing, right? So this sanctification or holiness is putting away all the temporary, unfulfilling, again, pursuits of the flesh, if you will, in exchange for the satisfying, saturating presence of God in your life. I'm going to say that again. What you're going to do in holiness is you're going to put away all those unfulfilling pursuits of the flesh that are gratification in the temporary realm in exchange for the saturating presence of God in your life. Now, I want everybody to take a deep breath. Take a nice deep breath. Notice that the scripture says that without this pursuit of being like your daddy, no one will see the Lord. Wow. I have this to say. Do not go into fear mode. Stay in faith. I'm going to say it again. Do not, when you read things like this, go into fear mode. Stay in faith. Remember that we are in what? Pursuit of holiness. We've not arrived yet. And God knows that. Hence why Jesus Christ came. Hence why Jesus Christ died even for the unlovely. Hence why Jesus Christ died for all men. Hence why he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't even know what they're doing. Hence why grace and mercy rule and reign above all that condemnation that we could ever get into. Because when Christ died and gave his life for you and for me, he did it for a purpose, and he won't renege on his promise to us to never leave us or forsake us. We don't leave him. And I don't ever plan on leaving God. I don't know about you. We're pursuing holiness, so we've not arrived yet. But, we are a work in progress. Praise God that we are saved, just as we are. Billy Graham said it over and over again in that song, just as I am. But we should be increasingly desiring to become who God says we're to be. Okay, here we are, right? But this is where God says we should be. Sanctification is going from here. Holiness is going from here and going, wow, I see that man of God. Whew! Man, I want to be that man. I want to be God's general. I want to be God's hands and feet. I want to have his character. I want to have his anointing. I want to be a faithful son. I want to heal the sick. I want to raise the dead. I want to preach the gospel. I want to be in love with everybody. I want to even turn the other cheek when people punch me on one side and the other. I know what that man needs to be. I've read about it so many times, but God, I seem to have a trouble getting over who I am right here. I want to pursue that holiness. Teach me. Grow me. Stretch me. Sharpen me. Put people in my life that'll help hold me accountable to get to that place, because there's no place like that place ever. That's our attitude. That's what God wants. He wants our desire. Now, you still may be standing here 10 years from now. God help you. God help me. But that desire God sees in your heart, and that's what sustains us. But I'd ask you this question. If you don't even have a desire to pursue God in any way, shape, or fashion, then you really need to find out whether you're saved or not. Amen. He does accept us just the way we are, but he's going to look into your heart and peer in there and find out whether or not you just were words or whether your heart was really given to make him Lord. Because if you did, then there will be that desire. Yes. And then the process starts, right? Amen. We want to be who God says we be. So in summary today, what God is looking for is this. Listen now. What God is looking for in our response to trials is our willingness to be transformed by his presence into the sons and daughters that he created us to be.